This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 18th of December, 1952. The title of this lecture is Your Own Case, to You, the Student. This lecture is 62 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Arrow Productions.
This is the last lecture of the Philadelphia Lecture Series, and the name of this lecture is Your Own Case. And this is addressed to you, the student, not to your preclears. You, as a student, are, we all know, a difficult case. And the reason you are difficult, as we decided and agreed upon a long time ago in Dianetics, that you were a difficult case because you knew all the answers yourself. And therefore, no auditor could have any real altitude with you, and you knew all the ways to dodge. Another thing, a fellow works it in this way sometimes when he gets rather bad off, and he said, the only reason it is working upon me is because I have heard all about it. And I've agreed that it works, so it's working on me. And then I don't know whether it's working on me or not. And I don't know whether I'm any better or not. And I don't know, and I don't know. And the next thing you know, he's sitting right there on the chart of attitudes. I don't know. What do you know? Apathy. Now, the way to get over this is to take the responsibility through these next periods of lecture, review, when you're hearing these tapes, having seminars, you as an individual take the responsibility for the fact that your fellow student knows what he is doing. Because not only you, but the fate of what you're interested in are in his hands. You perhaps can be more or less sure what you're going to do with it, but can you be sure that he knows what he is doing with it? And let me inject that insidious question. Can you be completely competent yourself and yet be the only competent auditor in your immediate area? You might think that this is desirable from a standpoint of economics. You might think it's desirable in a number of ways. There's reverse vectors on this, and your best intention sometimes might go awry. But let me ask a not insulting question. Can you be absolutely sure of his competence? Because until you can feel some confidence in his competence, you're not a group. And you won't have any security about being audited. If you think there's one person in this class who will never become a competent auditor, then you have not reached an optimum. And you have not made very sure that that auditor knows what he's doing. That sounds like that'd introduce a lot of randomity. That won't introduce any randomity. What'll introduce randomity is this, trying to prove that you know and that he doesn't. That's the way Homo sapiens goes about it, and look where he is. Try to prove that you know and he doesn't. No, no. You're not interested in proving that you know. You're just interested in making sure he does. You take that sort of an attitude, you won't calmly let something go by the boards. There isn't any reason why you should let anything go by the boards. There isn't any reason why you or three or four of you shouldn't take that auditor of which you're not secure in his knowledge and back him up against the corner and make darn sure that he is. Of course, you're making the old deal that used to go on in the track a lot of time is on the basis of prove it. You've got to prove that you know. Proving that one knows is quite aberrative unless it applies to procedures which can be articulated with the ease that these procedures can be articulated. In order to get a block and tackle to work, one must know how to rig one. And in order to get a pre-clear up the scale, one must know the fundamentals of auditing so thoroughly that it becomes a completely automatic proposition in a complete scale of knowingness with no automaticity. You either know data, or you don't. There isn't any halfway point about it. You either know what a cycle of action is, or you don't, because the answers which have been dug up here are not vague answers. They're not talking about me. I'm just talking about this subject line. They're not vague answers. And if there's a vagueness which exists, it was either a vagueness of communication, because a communication, to be a full communication, has to be received, or you're fighting something that would make it seem non-survival to you to know that datum. In either one of these two lines, then, an auditor could fail. But he could mostly fail if he did not have confidence in his auditors. Not one man, not one girl in this room, but has had the rather sorry experience of being part of a team of Homo sapiens. College, high school. You were a gang and everything was going along fine until all of a sudden you found out one day when somebody was cutting your throat, or you wore the old school tie and you found out that the moment you were no longer in the old school, there wasn't any team anymore. You've gone through a continuous process of falling away from teams, various sorts or another, or seeing them break up, seeing groups not reaching their goals. And it is no wonder that you would feel a disgust for groups of Homo sapiens, but it would be every piece of curiosity in the world if you began to develop one as a group of auditors who have in your hands all the skills to come up the tone scale and to be and to make good teammates. You know, it can be done all by yourself and by nobody else, by the way. You don't need any help. And that I know is the best reason why you should have some teammates you can trust. Coming up all the way up the line, however, necessitates that at no time you will ever stumble or fall in any way whatsoever. That precludes that fact. You must not stumble or fall anywhere. You must get up the line by your own bootstraps and remain stable there. And then never one day blunder into a theta trap or get into a perihelion around something or other that has an undue field and you can't quite manage it and you get rattled. Something or other. No, no, there's no great danger waiting on it. But there is this. If you are perfectly competent in your own mind that you can progress and do the entire job of the reclamation of Earth or the reclamation of yourself, it doesn't matter much which. If you're perfectly competent, that you are competent to do that, then you can. There isn't any doubt about that. One man can do this whole job. Any one of you can do this job. I can do this job. Doesn't have to be passed on. There's no pressing necessity that it happens that way. But there's two factors that enter in. One, it's more fun when one has fellow members of a group trying to accomplish a common goal. And two, it's a lot more certainty in it. A lot more certainty. Now, when you look over this situation, you'll find out that a lot of group activities are quite limp. One of the group activities that's most limp is trying to group audit with mock-ups. It's bad because the variation from pre-clear to pre-clear is bad. And some guy there is going to be becoming invalidated or upset. He's invalidated by your commands because he can't accomplish them. Group auditing is kind of weak. Individual auditing isn't. There are other group activities, group political activities. Other activities are kind of weak. And a group is as weak as the individual finds a scarcity and finds he must have or must not have. That's the weakness of a group, havingness. Spoils the time duration of the group, because the time duration of a group cannot be made to depend upon mast, but must depend upon the top of the scale. And that, of course, has no great time duration. It doesn't have much havingness. A group can own a great deal so long as the individual members of that group, here and there through the group, do not have as their sole and only goal, pronoun, capital I, alone must have. I want the power of the group. I want this. I want that. You have to feel that way, you see, if you haven't got confidence in the rest of the group. If you can't have confidence in the competence of your fellow auditors, then you have the necessity of taking the job on your own back. So it's to every single slightest good end in yourself to make sure that the members of your group are competent, that they are able, and that they are high enough up the tone scale so they do not have to have, so they cannot and do not run into that horrible cul-de-sac, I am the only one who must be, and they're the only one who can control. The only place where that condition of mind exists is above the middle of the band. A group on Earth is on a decreased spiral, Homo sapiens, a decrease end of the spiral. They seldom increase any. You want to go up and run the spiral backwards up into the increase band, and if you want to do that, then don't get somebody nailing down everything in sight and cross currents, putting out bad information, because if they bring you bad information, they'll take bad information away about you. Believe me, that's true. My grandma had a statement like that. She used to say, if a dog will bring a bone, he'll take one away. If people are easily stampeded or people are easily upset about this and that, they aren't just, quote, basically weak, and therefore to be abandoned at the nearest crossroads. Their case is in a hell of a condition, and that's about all you can say about it. Now, there isn't an auditor here. There isn't one here. It could not become sufficiently competent, aesthetically, rationally, to do the highest level of job that can be done in these United States. There isn't one who couldn't do that. And the only reason that couldn't happen is if the other members of that group did not make absolutely sure about it. It could happen that people of this group could fall short of that goal. And the only way they can fall short of it is that the other members of this group didn't make sure he could. So then that tells you that each member of the group could if he makes sure that anybody in the group could. And makes it his concern that the rest of the group can. It's all very well to stand as little island universes. A single candle in the middle of a huge, huge room can be an artistic thing. It's also an awful lot of dark in that room, too. And that room looked pretty good if there were 50,000 candles in it. Looked a lot better if there were 50,000. Up to about a certain level, it becomes too many candles, aesthetically. It does. There isn't any reason why this subject has to be passed on and people trained and trained and trained in this subject until we have hundreds of millions of auditors. We don't even vaguely want hundreds of millions of auditors. How many universes do you want to control simultaneously, for heaven's sakes? What kind of a thirst would this be? Probably there is a natural tolerance level for this much action in the field of knowledge in terms of numbers of people applying same. I'm afraid that is the case. It doesn't mean that there's the sheep and the goats. It just means that you push a certain balance forward and it'll hit it after a while. And what is it? A guy per planet? A guy per town? What is it? It'll hit somewhere along the line. It's got a chance of doing that only if you become responsible for the group. Because it can't be a group unless every member in that group is responsible for the whole group. Somebody comes around to you and they say, you know, there's an auditor that down the street and so forth. I understand that class so-and-so, Scientology, and you understand, and class. You see, you've got a wide open field. You're not up against Dianeticists. There are a lot of Dianetic auditors around. You're not being rated as Dianetic auditors. You're being rated Scientologists. There's something else. I don't care how snide anybody gets. I don't care how snide I get when I drape a flag to the effect that it doesn't work. The point is that you're not into that level of competition. You couldn't be into any level of competition at all because there is no competition. There is no end of cannon fodder for your auditing phrases. No end of it. Any more than there's an end of mock-ups. But there is this. There is somebody coming to you and saying, that Scientologist down the street, so-and-so, and such, did this and did that. And such a thing as you having a pretty good idea maybe that Scientologist did. Beautiful girl, quiet auditing room, nobody else there. Maybe did. I don't advise you to go against every mores and that sort of thing and support such a horribly terrible story as that might have some slight grain of truth. All I ask you to do is look at this pretty clear and say, you happen to be talking about a member of my class. Boy, do they get propitiative in a hurry. They probably give you an extra five. That's right. It's bad medicine, because the greatest of degradation is brought about by this mechanism. You get a member of the group to degrade himself by going against the remainder of the group. And then that degrades the whole group, and therefore the group is shattered. So regardless of the irrationality, and regardless of the fact that you have ample precedent for not supporting anybody in the group, go ahead and support him. That's all there is to it. I mean, it's very simple. You don't have to have a precedent, an overt act motivator combination. You don't have to find out that there's a fellow who was part of your class and was a friend of yours and was that part of that group that is saying this and saying that and doing this and doing that and that it's all wrong. You found that out. Yes, he was. He was doing that. Yes, he is doing that right this minute. Somebody comes along and says to you, and you're no good because you're so on, so on, and so on. I mean, what they're really saying is you're no good. And when they say so-and-so, and you say, well, that's up to him. That's up to him. But at the same time, I think it's perfectly all right. They say, well, you degraded being. How could you possibly think such a thing? I don't know. Maybe it's because I have a right to think that, too. And maybe it's because you don't have any right to think anything about it at all. So the fellow hung up advertising signs 20 feet high all along the side of that building. Well, I might think it's wrong, but you haven't got any right to think it's wrong. Oh, gee. Terrible approaches. I'm not trying to ask you to do anything that you would not do of your own determinism. I'm just trying to point out to you that as you float along on an island universe basis, detached by Lord knows how many light years one from another, that it can be a long track in a dark room. Because there's our first consideration, the case, your case. And you know, it's a shockingly low number here in terms of results. And I know you haven't had much time. But you know how long it takes to make beta clear out of 50% of the people? It takes about 20 minutes. You really got the horsepower on and you know what you're doing? About 50%. It doesn't take any time. There isn't any time to it. You de-have the guy, and of course that reduces time. Did you ever figure that out? I mean, you've taken away an awful lot of mess suddenly, so it of course couldn't take any time. One day you'll find yourself auditing for 5 hours and have been gone for 15 minutes. I mean, it isn't a joke I'm trying to put over on you, and I'm just talking about that. I talk in this very extreme fashion. I talk in this extreme fashion for years of reducing people's time on them. That's a mean trick. Of giving them too optimistic a result. That's a mean trick. Up to the time when you accumulate sufficient overt acts, you got a reverse vector to push a whole show across when you've got a full package and get it on its way. And everybody who's done an overt act, they're still standing down on the sticks, you see. Everybody who's done an overt act, said a mean thing, got everything all upset. Here's demonstration and activity and all this sort of thing going on in every hand. Oh, boy, do you get support. That's a fact. Why don't you try it out someday for 24 hours, make people do overt acts against you? How do you make them do it? Just be over-optimistic. Go around and say, well, you'll be all right. And ha, I guess there's nothing wrong with you. I mean, ha, you say you got a toothache? Well, that'll be fine. That'll be fine. You just look at them. They grind, growl, snarl. They'll do plenty of overt acts against you. Because a criticism, unspoken to most people, is an overt act, and they don't realize it. They just think a criticism. They've done an overt act. Now, that's wobbly on their pins. That's the truth. Now, there isn't a tough case present. There isn't a tough case present. I looked over this series of cases here, and this is very, very... We've all agreed that people shouldn't know their subject to be audited by it very neatly. We've all agreed to that very thoroughly. But there isn't a tough case anywhere in this room. That's the truth. I look around here, and I've spotted two or three cases as being rough. And in the course of this, of asking them a question here and talking to them there and listening to them someplace else, I've spotted every one of those cases. I don't mean to eavesdrop. I spotted every single one of them. For instance, we have a boy over here, if you don't mind my mentioning it, all he's got to be given, all he needs... It's a little black and white control, that's all. Spot control. I audited him too heavy one afternoon standing over there wondering if he could take it. In fact, he shut his mock-ups off. Put a tire down, the manhole cover, and a few other things. You could still throw him through on standard mock-ups. He kept seeing two bands of light through a dark field. Isn't that right? All right, what do you do with those two bands of light through a dark field? Have him start mocking up communication beams someplace and tying knots in them. Just give him more bands of light. He's worried because of two bands of light. Give him six to worry about. Real tough, isn't it? Sounds tough. And unfortunately, that is exactly what toughness is high on the scale. We find ourselves unable to handle one area, and so instead of doing the natural cycle thing and reducing the area we're trying to handle, we just... double the size of the area. That's the way theta works. How many times in your life have you decided, Well, let's see. I couldn't handle so-and-so and so-and-so. I guess I'd better handle just a little bit less. And then the first doggone thing you know, you couldn't handle that less. What if you'd said, all right, now let's see. I don't seem to be able to do this. Oh, where's two of them? And yet that's processing in present time. I recommend it to you very thoroughly. You can't crack this case, you say. Find a couple of worse ones. Go next door and crack that morgue there and see what you can do. Loss of Time magazine misquotes me as saying that it revives the dead and dying. So I guess we'll just have to revive the completely dead. Of course, I don't recommend starting with a magazine, because I have some respect for your aesthetics. Things can be dead, and things can be dead. But the point is, but you go in reverse, you see. You've decided already, long time since, that it was rough handling a mess body. You got a pre-clear who's fairly convinced that it's tough, and you've got him out there, and he's apparently a stable theta clear, but he gets kind of anxious about handling this body. He knows he can only do one thing at once. He knows this. He knows it completely. I don't know. Let him go down the street and work two bodies at once. Oh, no. You'd say, no, this isn't the right road out. This couldn't be. That's just more quantity. That's. I'm afraid that is the road out. And you say that case can't be cracked. Sigh, because it isn't a tougher case. You actually don't have a representative strata of tough cases in this room. I'm not joking now. You just don't have them. I've seen some roughies. I know of one, two mock-up instabilities here that I would call difficult. A little bit difficult for an auditor. We go on the basis of the black spot, the white spot, you just work with that, that's all. A little bit difficult. Take a little time. When I say difficult, take a little time. Standard process. Well, I don't know three, and I don't know a six. There isn't a six here. And there wouldn't be a seven here anyway. But there isn't a six present. Well, that's a hell of a note. Reverse vector makes somebody say around here, well, there is, I must be. But the point I'm making is you don't have an adequate starting level here. You haven't got enough fives to go around. So be careful of them and conserve them. Now, you've seen some example of processing. I should have given you a lot more processing. I should have audited a lot more of these people. One of the reasons I didn't is I kept looking at you, and you're in good shape. You've had a lot of Dianetics, had a lot of this and that, but there wasn't any point in it. But let me count up the number of hours that it would have taken. Not an optimistic estimate. There is a sly insouciance of malice that has run through quite a little bit of this. Sometimes I have blandly stood and told an auditor, look, you've had the guy in there a whole hour. What's the matter with you? And then you know what? I knew very well he couldn't crack the case in 30 hours. But he probably could in 30 hours if he applied himself. Whole hour, I've said. And then find myself faced with the necessity of doing just that. Oh, no. I used to shoot circuits on cases just out of desperation. It was one of the ways I started in, shooting circuits. That's a very interesting process. You take a guy who can't see and he hasn't got anything at all, and you make him feel better suddenly by simply clipping a circuit out by realizing he must have this circuit. How do you know what circuit it is? No meter will tell you. There are too many circuits to classify them. How do you know? Well, On to another subject. But I'm not being malicious when I tell you that you haven't enough tough cases to go around, because you simply haven't, and I haven't got them. I'm not trying to show you what's being done elsewhere by telling you that in England, this deep into the class, we had advanced tougher cases than you are further. Maybe it's just because you're too easy. I imagine it would take somewhere in the neighborhood to get a Thetan exterior here. It would probably take me somewhere in the neighborhood of about 50 hours of auditing to get this whole class. Probably. Probably somewhere in the neighborhood of about 200 hours of auditing to get Theta clears for this whole class. Something like that. I've been struggling and messing around with one or two cases but I've just been messing around with them. I do that with friends of mine. I'm very bad that way. Take some poor trusting individual. I know exactly what the case wants. I know exactly what the case needs, but I don't happen to be working on that at the time. I worked on that last month. And I say, all right, so and so and so and so. And there's also this stress. They sometimes will dive in with enormous confidence in doing something because I ask them, what they figure out probably is doable. That's not always true. They always do it. Isn't that funny? I run into very few can'ts. But here we have techniques which are essentially so easy, you haven't found it out yet. You just haven't found this out yet, that's all, to the degree that you could find it out. A lot of you know that it must be fairly simple, but you've got theory and you haven't got it digested at all. A lot of the information is lying around sort of like big lumps of dough, and you haven't shifted it from the right side to the left side and turned it red and blue yet. That's all. And you're liable to sit down and look at some fellow who's, your first thought's liable to be, I wonder why he's trusting me. Or when you're on the couch, you say, I know very well he was sitting right there in the same place. He doesn't know any more about this than I do. If you want to fool around with this information, it's up to you. It's up to you what you can do with this. Aside from auditing, I leave to your imaginations. But I would not mess around any auditor here with any of the cases here. I really wouldn't. It isn't that you're dealing with precious cases, that these cases couldn't be solved one way or the other if you did toss them up. It's that the results you're getting are not very satisfactory to you. Your pre-clear has a half-gone idea already, if he's a student here in this class, that what's going to happen, he knows it's going to work, kind of, more or less. He hasn't realized it would work like that, kind of. He got an intellectual. You haven't gone into an action yet. You're auditing somebody who knows more or less what to expect and which way it's going to go. You're liable to find special randomities in him, such as he realizes he must take all this seriously for it for him to do any good. Of course, you couldn't more patently reverse a vector if you tried. But he can still take it all seriously, and it will still work. Don't doubt that. What I would do, if I were you, advice on the situation, is to use standard operating procedure, issue 5, use 1, direct exteriorization, 2, by beams, 3, spaciation, 4, flow balancing, 5, black and white spot control. And I'd test around on these things, and I'd test your pre-clear up for the automaticity of his mock-ups. Every once in a while you'll find somebody going by who has such a terrific jiggle on any consistency that they're shocked to death to find out that they can't get a simple black spot, when they can get a whole army marching neatly in rows up the road. That's because Just them has to get that black and white spot. No circuits pick it up or anything. It's just them. That's all that's going to get it. There are no Marines that can be called on from the year rump-de-umph-dash-umph that will suddenly turn up in the form of automatic buttons long since installed by this same pre-clear and do by experience this whole thing. It's just a black spot. That's all. And buttons won't turn it on and off. They go jiggle, zoom, zong, crash. They don't tell it when to move at the right time. Highest level of precision there is. It's a black spot. You might think a white spot is, but a white spot isn't anything. A white spot is known area, and a black spot may have something in it and it may not. It is unknownness which may or may not contain something. It has no light in it, and so you can't tell. Guy can handle a black spot, he can handle anything. You could handle a black spot completely and make the thing expand three-dimensionally into a sphere and spin over the whole body and then contract to a small black billiard ball on the top of your head and then go out in front and then stay consistently out in front and then gradually and quietly and without any effort whatsoever expand as a whole sphere and cover your whole body again and then go up to the top and out and back. You're all right. Nothing to that. And I would just take those techniques as I have given them to you, and you'll find on these mimeograph sheets of paper that you've got in your own notes, there's no randomity in them at all. That's what you do. You might find out that you will adjust to doing a couple of the steps in reverse or something. You happen to decide this is the case. That's all right. But I'd go kind of soft with that in the class here. First place, it'll upset the guy if you're doing it wrong. And he knows what you're supposed to do, and that's the only liability. And the main liability is, when auditing an auditor, is that if a fellow is a complete noodlehead on his techniques, the auditor is the first one that finds it out. There is no liability in auditing an auditor if it is done by an auditor who knows his auditing. There's no such thing, really, as altitude independent of data. Two auditors and two pre-clears. And the reason why it seems to work so well on the people out in the street is these people out there in the street, they're just walking around and you hit them with any of these things, it's like shooting rabbits with a 16-inch gun. And it is on this auditor, too, but the auditor's got a ritual. He thinks you ought to follow this ritual. He's very critical if you don't. He knows how he's supposed to be brought up before the altar and carved. So I would be very and particularly careful to know Standard Operating Procedure Issue 5 in this class and consider that as the standard of auditing which you're going to receive. And even though I might send you a cable in 2 or 3 days saying, have brand new technique, have just issued Standard Operating Procedure Issue 10, you go right on using 5, huh? The reason for this is you know 5. It's sometimes a fellow could have a whole palace, gorgeous palace, all paved in gold and everything else, and fellow gives it to him and he walks down and he looks at this gorgeous palace and so on, and he himself he's living in this little gamekeeper's cottage down there at the corner of the grounds, and he goes up and he looks at the palace and gee, it's a nice palace, and then he goes back to the gamekeeper's cottage. Why? Well, it's his cottage. It's his bric-a-brac lying on the mantle. He knows how many inches to reach over to the right to pick up a pipe or a snuff box or anything that he might care to want. He knows that the water tap in the kitchen leaks, and he knows you have to give it an extra twist. And he's got all of these little gimme-gahoojits of handlingness worked out in it. It's not a new, strange space to it. That's why people hold on to Book 1, for Christ's sakes. People trained in Elizabeth, 1950, are still auditing by Book 1. And they get better results by Book 1, up to a point where they would use this by rote, practically. There's no substitute for knowingness. And what's knowingness consist of? Well, in terms of use, it gets out into space. and energy. And my golly, you've got, of course, this type of knowing this can't be beat. You know the space and the energy and object content of that space, which is to say you know the auditing room and the pre-clear, and you know how that body is going to move and twitch if you say so-and-so to it. And this is what you expected. And so you get into a nice, quiet, calm rut about the whole thing. Well, you've got to be in pretty good shape to change fast. But let's take out immediately the question mark, which is going to be in the mind of any pre-clear present, by not agreeing to be audited by anything but Standard Operating Procedure Issue 5. Let's just establish that as a consent of agreement. We're not going to issue anything else on that. And let's just chew right ahead. Now, we've got a certain course schedule that has been laid out, and that is all very nice, but the people present are not fair game. Let's just knock that out as fair game. The world's lousy with pre-clears. Why would we have to test any locks or engrams or anything else's upon anybody here? I submit to you. There's practically anybody can be made better with these techniques. Why should you just test on somebody that isn't going to benefit by them? Why not spread yourself out a little bit? You might have information or recommendations to the contrary. I notice a little wave of "oh no" on that coming back at me. Nah, it isn't important. It isn't important, really, that you do anything but get your cases in the best, most possibly wonderful condition as fast as possible and get step one completely out of the road, including all of the lifting exercises. And just get it out of the road, that's all. And if you want to know what facsimiles look like, look at some. Pick them up and sort through a couple of card packages worth. If you want to know what locks look like, well, spread a few out. Or go down the street and push somebody's face into one to see how he acts. And then say, what do you know? It makes him cough. You can do your research completely in reverse rather than on a couch. If you go at it in that fashion. That schedule is laid out against a longer course period than this. And it is laid out in the hope that you won't use class members to finish off that experimental line. They happen to need your skill, and you, as your own case, happen to need the skill of your class members. Right away and as soon as possible, and daylight and nighttime and the mess universe is burning. There isn't any reason to loaf around on a case. The essence of any auditing is learning how to handle something. And if you can handle something, you can handle something more. There's a much tougher gradient scale that a guy like me follows. I don't follow the gradient scale as closely as you might think. If I fail at something, I set up two. You say yes, you can fall flat on your face doing that. Yes, sir, but when you make gains, you sure knew you jumped a span. You didn't wait for the realization to sneak up on you. You found out you couldn't drive such and such a car because it so happened that it had a very, very bad king bolt. And the front wheel went fluppity-flup every once in a while, and every time you'd skid it into a turn, the doggone thing just went fluppity-flup, and you knew damn well that that was not going to work out that way. So you pull the other king bolt, give it a good solid wrap and a bend, and put that back in, and then drive it. And after that, you know, it doesn't matter what a car does. When you go around a turn and it goes fluppity-floppity-floo, you just go right on around the turn. With a complete conviction that you could probably pick up the front end anyway if it fell off. Pick it off and sort of run alongside of the car with one hand. The way to do it is not to go back to the garage and have the king bolt repaired, because that thing is just messed universe. The mission of the messed universe is fail, fella, and then we're more messed. Unless thou failest, I shalt not be, says the messed universe. Well, you better fail. The only way to fool it is just to take a look at it and say it's just messed. All right. Your own case isn't serious, then. Your own group could be serious, though. Now, I don't think anybody's given any thought to something, merely because it's too far out and beyond one's thought. The incredible and the fantastic are our best safeguards that you possibly could have. The best possible safeguards, because nobody's really going to interfere with you. What would you think of a precaution that caused you to write down three numerals on a piece of paper and make your pre-clear memorize them completely as an identification tag, and then you threw it in the top drawer of your desk? What would you think of that? You'd think that was being too cautious, wouldn't you? Well, you know, in the course of averages, I would say over a course of 5 years, there will be at least once, if not 5 or 10 times, if not 500 times, when you'd be damn sorry you didn't do it. Just like that. Who guarantees this fact? The thetan is used to communicating with the body, right? And a new thetan suddenly grabbing a body or something of the sort, which was left and abandoned, could make it moot, couldn't he? But the guy'd look like your friend, wouldn't he? Dramatic, isn't it? Think about it for a minute. A fellow could say, I'm John Jones, because lying all over the place is the name John Jones. Why, sure. Sure, there's nothing to that at all. Yet he could say, my auditor was so-and-so and such, because it's right there on the ridges, pictures of same. Must be on the ridges. GE knows something about it, sort of a dim recollection here, and I can plow around this dim recollection and scatter enough stuff up, find all sorts of things out about the whole deal. Identification. Who's going to identify you as the Thetan? Where would you go if something happened to you? What if you were walking down the street and you got halfway across the street and you had your body down there in the middle of the street and it was walking from curb to curb and a fire engine came around and you didn't even happen to notice it and you were a long way away and all of a sudden crash. You didn't have anybody anymore. And you could go to the hospital if you wanted to and pick up this kid that was going to die anyway and he was in bad shape and there's another Thetan there in kind of a stupid state of mind, so you tell him, I'll go on back to Mars, another implant won't hurt you. And you walk around and you come around to the foundation, you say, what are you going to say? Can I come in? You obviously are Johnny Jones, just obviously as hell. Except you're really Mary Stevens. You want to find somebody who's in charge of the thing, and you say, I'm 3-1-1-3-1-1-3-1-1. And you better arrange to get my office and gear back in a hurry. And let's see if we can't collect the life insurance on that body. You think I'm being facetious. It sounds very dramatic. Very dramatic. It's above the level of your experience maybe right now to some slight degree. We're really climbing into the realms. And so you got a lot of things to do besides audit. You got a lot of things to be interested in. You poke around enough and fool around enough and monkey around and let your own case be pushed this way and that and not insist on standard operating procedure on it and get tacit consent and pat a cake, not go through this lineup. You can waste all kinds of time. You can just have a wonderful time and you can finally wind up by not having had to do anything at all. It's a hell of a state of affairs, isn't it? Is standard operating procedure issue 5 hard? No. I've had an awful hard time talking to you about it this many hours. You think there's an awful lot of data here. Well, there is. There's an awful lot of communication here. It's communicated from 80 different ways. But the whole truth of the matter is, when it finally becomes yours, it'll sort of go bang. And you'll say, well, I couldn't possibly spend all that time wondering about this. I just couldn't. There it is. Because it's so simple. And of course, you go over to somebody and you say, well, you crossed the abyss. That magic, mystic operation happened at that moment. You went from just a schnook to I know. You go around and you say to the grocer, you say to them, you know, there's this stuff called Scientology, and all it is really just, and you'll give what your concept it is, and you'll say, huh? And you'll say, well, it's like this. Like this. You see, there's space, there's energy, and there's havingness, and so on, and so on, and I want to explain to you why you don't have any time doing the whole thing. And a fellow will say, what are you talking about, mister? Yeah, that's right. What are you talking about? Doesn't fit with his frame of experience. You can go around and explain to somebody about this, and he'll look at you so intelligently. Boy, they just look at you so intelligently, and they go on and on. And you finally find out they've picked up it when you said that time wasn't as long as it is now, when you were a little boy. And they finally agreed to that, because the reason they agreed to that is they had a sudden recollection of how long they thought a piece of ice lasted when they were young, or something like that. And now they've got the whole subject down, and they go around and they explain it to somebody, and they say, you know, when you're young, pieces of ice don't last as long. They last longer than they lasted now. And Sparrow says, well, they do. That's very interesting, and go on about his work. It's the way knowledge dwindles out. You don't have to go at it that way, the hard way. Your own case is quite important. It's important to this group. It's important to Scientology at large. And it's also important for your own peace of mind. Because as long as you poke around in an unreality about actuality, things that come along, people can do this to you, they can do that to you, they can do something else to you. I learned something really by experience for the first time in a long time. The other day, something happened here. I just realized this. I've been pretty busy. I've been having a good time about a lot of things, and so I've been working very hard. I haven't had as good a time as I might have had about a lot of things. But I all of a sudden realized something. I realized it would be too bad if I suddenly had to kick the mooring lines off. But didn't really make any difference. That wasn't the decision of idleness, but it was a decision that wouldn't impede the action in any way whatsoever. It was too easy to go ahead and pick it up elsewise. And I hadn't ever realized that before. You know, I mean, really to know. I was in the field of action with knowledge, and that's the place, you know. And it suddenly was there, and I had a complete realization on that fact, and with it came this realization, I couldn't be touched. That's a fascinating thing, isn't it? And you look at these great big solid trucks, and you look at these great big solid walls, and all that sort of thing, and you say, boy, it sure is prettied up, isn't it? Looks practically real. But it's not. And that was action. Worked for a long time, worked very hard. And actually, under the frame of reference that I was working sometimes, believe me, it was hard. Because I thought I was supposed to think it was hard, too. There's a little over 80,000 hours of work, and there's a lot of things I would have rather done a lot of times. But I had never come up along the level of estimation, something like walking into one end of a tunnel and suddenly coming out of the other end of the tunnel. You can walk in that tunnel for so long you don't know you've been in a tunnel. You say, well, sure is pretty in this tunnel. Yeah, sure is pretty in this tunnel. It sure is pretty in this place. Sure is pretty around here. Yeah, sure is pretty in this great big tunnel. Yeah, tunnel, that's name for universe. That's what you call a tunnel. And that's one of the vastest parts, and that's, two tunnels make an infinity. That's right, that's the width of a tunnel. Well, maybe a tunnel goes up to infinity. Yeah, and there's lights and suns and stars and everything in the tunnel. And you go on about this thing, and what's tunnel mean? It's changed its evaluation entirely, and there it is, there it is. And then one day you're standing outside something and it has anything to do with a tunnel. And you say, holy cow, what is all this stuff out here? It's space, what do you know? Why, it couldn't pop. Gee, you know, you just all of a sudden then remember that there was a time when you weren't in a tunnel. And there was a time when I was not working on Dianetics or Scientology. That's a fact. There was a time. And another symbolism of it is shoving across an abyss. Well, you better get shoved. That's all I got to say. I think you're even fooling around with your own case to learn something. Phooey. Learned off somebody else's case. Standard operating procedure issue 5 will crack your case. I know that. It's about time you did. Because believe me, the best way I know of for you to know this subject now is to find out that it works on you. And that's the best way. It's a funny thing that we've boiled it down to about 5 techniques. 5 major techniques. That's funny, isn't it? For the very, very bad off, we've got that, but we're doing essentially the same techniques. They're all backed against the same thing. It's really only about 5 techniques there. That's fantastic. We've only got one process that is a key process, and that is we handle space and energy. How do we do this? We handle space and energy by mock-ups. And then we get actual space, and then one day we'll be looking at actual energy. We say, you know, it's the funniest doggone thing, but every time I make a piece of space, the mock-ups in this piece of space, it says, whoa, so good. What do you know? Look at that. You know, that's the funniest thing. There it is, and so on. You'll find out they appear and disappear just like bang when you can make space. There's nothing to it. The value of mess starts getting lower, but the value of randomity is such you continue to hang around it. Your own case is very important to you from a standpoint of knowing Scientology. I can tell you and tell you and talk to you and talk to you and persuade you and say, yes, it works on you. And it's this way and it's that way and it's some other way and so on. That doesn't do any good. A sudden change in your case, a sudden difference, will do more for you than any amount of studying. Now, as you review these tapes, you should also be doing a lot of auditing. And what? To repeat those class records? No, you go out and get, you go send Western Union, send you a messenger boy if you want to do that. You do that otherwise. The thing for you to do is get your own case in shape as you go over a review. You really get it in shape. Of course, that's your responsibility, not really your auditor's. It's your responsibility that his case is in shape. It's the responsibility of every member in this group to make sure this group's in shape. From there on, you won't need anybody to pop you up in any way whatsoever or tell you anything more about it. You'll know. That's the best way I know to know, is to get up the chart of attitudes toward the level called I know. And I invite you to climb that ladder as rapidly as possible, not by esoterics or aesthetics or something of this sort, but by using just exactly what we've got here, standard operating procedure, issue 5, and you apply it to the pre-clear and liberal quantities and get it applied to you. I don't want to have anybody in this class, really, if I have any thought about it at all, who goes around saying, I helped everybody, and therefore I didn't get it. That's missed universe. Fooey. No good. There isn't any point in my trying to stress the importance of this, because the best place to know is at the level of the chart of attitudes I know, and the best way to get there is to use standard operating procedure issue 5. And when you use standard operating procedure issue 5, you better find out that you get there. I mean, it's that simple. And there isn't any piece of knowledge I've left out. The case of an auditor above a certain level does not need refurbishing continually. He'll keep it squared away. But the case of an auditor below that level requires constant attention, so it's better to get up above that level. That'd be the level of stability, the level of tolerance. And it's in the tolerance that he can get into action or he doesn't have to at will. And that doesn't say that you're dependent then upon the economics or other things of this messed universe. You're not. Not even vaguely. And the sooner you learn it, the stronger and happier you will be, and this group will be. Recommend to you very strongly liberal doses of this. Thank you.